Friday, the 13th of February, Yudtes Shvat, Rabbi Akiva Ziskind, Insights into Parshas Yisro.
Yeshua's father, I suppose it's an opportunity for somebody like me from out of towner to shakar satov to those who organize the Torah way, because those of us who live out of town have the opportunity to be able to phone in to hear the very shiurim, and we never really had the opportunity to share across the Torah to the Ma'arganim. But I think also those who have to go Makif Tova to are all of you that sit here, and the reason for that is because it would be very difficult if it wasn't a tzibur sitting here at least to listen. It would be even more difficult to organize people to come and speak, because no one wants to come and just speak to tape recorders or to phones. Reminds me when I was in yeshiva, as the Zman was progressing, the Winter Zman was progressing, so Tevis became Shvat, and Shvat became Rosh Chodesh Adar, and the amount of tape recorders that were being sent in on behalf of Bochum, who was supposed to be sitting in the Shia, was increasing, and the attendees in the Shia was going, you know, it was like the Purim Parachag, getting a bit less every day. Eventually one day, like the Shia said, it reminds him of a lecturer in university who also, as the academic year was getting on, the more tape recorders were being sent in and less people were coming. It's eventually he said, and I was at one stage just send a pre-recorded tape of the lecture and just play it, and the tapes will just, you know, at least, you know, I don't bother coming. But so as I say, so to the tzibur that sits here, I believe everyone around the UK and all those who are calling, as you know, from Eretz Yisrael and wherever they are, I'm sure have a cross of for you coming, because otherwise there wouldn't be anyone coming to be prepared to speak. We find that at the time of the Chet Adam Rishon, that we can see in the Pasuk, Rabbi Malevsky explains that you can see how the three major driving forces behind Adam and Chava, the Chet taking place, were the three famous forces of evil, that of Kinah, Tav, and Kovet. And we'll see in the Pasuk that the Pasuk says as follows. Nachash comes to Chava and says, "Vayomar Nachash l'Eish alei mos tumusin. Don't worry, you're not going to die. If you're going to eat, if you're going to eat from the Eitz HaDaat, you're not going to die. Ki yodeh elokim ki v'yomar chochem menu v'nivkechu einechem v'yisem ki elokim yodeh tov v'ra. Don't worry, don't panic. You've been told by Kodesh Baruch Hu that if you're going to eat from the Eitz HaDaat, that you're going to die. Don't worry." The Nachash says, Kodesh Baruch Hu is worried that if you will eat from it, you will be able to attain a level of knowledge where you'll be able to judge, and you'll be even, you won't have to listen to anyone else, and you will, in fact, even be a god yourself. And that is the whole worry. And he managed to, and with that, the Nachash managed to get Chava in terms of the willingness for every single natural weakness that many people suffer from, and that is one in covet. Now, don't worry, you'll be able to be a god, and who doesn't want to be able to become like a god? And that was the first ingredient of the three that managed to encourage her to fail to do the chet. And secondly, we find that says that that they come taiva v'chil sabo hu le'enaim taiva le'enaim v'nechved ho'et lahaskil v'tikach mipirio v'toichal, that it was very tasty and that got at her the weakness, the natural weakness people have for taiva, and that got her that natural weakness for a person to want to have something which they're not supposed to have, and involve themselves in something which they're not supposed to involve themselves with, and that is where taiva managed to get at her. And kino, we find batitain gam leisha imo vayochal. There's different perushim, different versions of Rashi, but what she does, either that she was worried that if she's the only one who's going to eat, that she's the one who's going to get punished, and her husband's not going to get punished. So there was tikinah. She was, you know, she was jealous that somebody else is going to get not going to get punished, and she is going to get punished. The other perish is that she was worried that she's going to get punished. Her husband's not going to get punished, and he's going to marry somebody else. And she was jealous of the second wife already before the second wife was even thought of. So we see here these three kinnat having covered all played a role in the actual chet of Adam Rishon. How does that come to this week's parsha? And after Bereshis, most of us are already in Shmos, went into Shmos. So, at this stage, after the Chet of Adam Rishon, it was famous. Adam Rishon kodem achet, and now it's Adam Rishon achre achet. But now, after the Chet of Adam Rishon, Adam Rishon lost his statuses of Adam Rishon kodem achet, which was a Mordeka level. Klal Yisrael, as they are readying themselves for Matan Torah, were given an opportunity of a lifetime. Because really, after Matan Torah, after the Chet of Adam Rishon, there were times in history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave humanity a chance to be able to misaken the Chet of Adam Rishon. To be able to misaken the kin and time of cover that led up to the Chet of Adam Rishon. The time of the Raflogger by the door of Noach, and so on and so forth. We're not going to go into that now, but they failed and they never managed, and that's why we remained till Matan Torah. But now you have a Matan Torah in this week's parsha. They had a chance to be able to work on these three issues, and that is Kina. The pasuk says that Vayichan Yisrael ki ishachod b'leiv echod, that Klal Yisrael were really all one. And that, as the Mechilta said, instead of Vayachanu, normally it says Vayachanu, and they encamped, and here it's Vayichan, and as one, they're literally like one encampment, which means, what it means one? One means where there's absolutely no jealousy, where everybody's not complaining, why does somebody have something, why has someone got a better position than I, why does somebody have something that I don't have? There is Kinot, they were able to come to a level where they were no longer jealous, they had accepted what they all have, and they were happy, and that's Vayichan, that was the achdus that they felt at that time. Taiva, it says that Yunachonim, it says that Yomim Atikshah, the Isha, the Tadisra, the town, Matan Torah, were purged from the Noshim, from all issues, and that was working on the bad character traits, or the weakness, the bad natural weakness of Taiva. Kovod is the Balfour Sa'om, we see in the Pasuk, tells us that the Pasuk says the Balfour Sa'om Sovev Lema Yisham Lachem Alois Bahor Nagaya Bekoteu Kol Anagaya Bahor Mosima, that nobody had a front row seat, not having a front row seat, no one was allowed to go onto the, no one was allowed to, I've got a VIP, I can go onto the mountain. Everybody was equal. There was nobody had issues. There was no issues of covers. Anyone getting covered when somebody else wasn't. So we see the three natural weaknesses, the forces of evil that played a role in the Chet of Adam Rishon. Here, by Matan Torah, they were able to misgaber on these three qualities, these bad qualities. And that is how Klal Yisrael come. We always say, well, Klal Yisrael and Matan Torah were like Adam Rishon Kodesh. Very nice. Well, in what way? How did they get there? Well, now we explain. Let's explain that it was these three things of Kinnat Taiva covered that they were able to come to a situation of Adam Rishon Kodesh. What exactly happened after that in terms of the status of becoming not Adam Rishon Kodesh? I need for next week's speaker to deal with in Parshat Tisisa. I can follow for this week's Parshat Yisroi. I think we're holding still the Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. Moving on to the actual Aseret HaDibros. The Aseret HaDibros begin, Anoicha Hashem Erkecha Asher Hatsisicho Me'eret Mitzrayim. So the Malbim asks, why doesn't it say, Ani Hashem Erkecha? I, very, very commonly used term, Ani, instead of saying Anoichi, say Ani. So the Malbim immediately explains the difference between Anoichi and between Ani. Ani is usually used where you're explaining, for example, Ani, the Malbim gives this mashal, Ani Yoshev, I am sitting. Where you're referring to, Yoshev is the object What he's talking about is that Ani Yoshev, I'm sitting, I'm not standing. But the object is about the sitting or the action taking place. When you use Anochi, that is where Anochi is talking about I being the subject. Meaning, Anochi v'loy Ater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted at the time of Matan Torah that to make it clear that it's Anochi v'loy Ater, it's me and nobody else, there's no other forces. There's no coming and saying when good things happen that happens that came from God, when bad things happen that came from some other type of force that nothing doesn't come from God, or vice versa. There's no such thing. Anochi v'le'achem, it's me and nobody else. And therefore it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Elokecha, two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu been used straight away. Hashem Midas Havaya, the Shem Hashem of Havaya, which is Hoya Hoya V'Yigeh, I was, am, and always will be. And that is and Elokecha, which is I'm the Bala Koychus Kulam. I am the Bala Koychus, and all the Koychus, everything that happens, bad and good, comes from me. As well, we see that when, of course, Havaya is the Midas HaRachamim. You've seen Midas HaRachamim in Mitzrayim. You've seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able at the same time to multitask. He was able to show Midas HaRachamim to Yidden and the Midas Adim and Elohim to the Mitzrayim. Similarly, and even more recently for the Eden was at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, where they were able to see with their kivosis parat berichpoi, when they saw holchu by Abosha b'zechayom, the very same time that the Mitzrayim are drowning in the sea, the Eden were not. The Eden were b'zechayom by Abosha. So we can see again how Kriyas Baruch Hu wants to make it clear from the beginning. Anoi Hashem alekecha, as Tzitzichom as Tzitzan that Hashem alekecha, I anoich it's me and nobody else. Who is able to do Vein Tov, Vein Ra, and be able to do that at the same time to exactly who I want it to be done to. So now we understand what Anochi and Hashem Alekecha. The next few words are Sher Tzichom Eretz Mitzrayim. So it's very, very, very famous, and everybody asks this, of course, why is it not Asher Borosi Shamayim V'Oretz? So I want to just deal with two explanations that I see. The first is Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra explains that Ein Adon Shmi L'Re'ia. Seeing is believing. At the end of the day, audiovisual, this is, you know, in a generation of audiovisual, that's all very nice hearing about things that once happened. But seeing is what makes the biggest impression. And for the Avraham Avinu of the world to could come to the right to the conclusion of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and nobody else, and for the intellectual, yes, that was good enough to be able to have said Anoichi for Avraham Avinu to be imperfect. He said Anoichi Hashem Lekecho, Avraham Avinu wasn't there at the time of creation of the world. That doesn't make a difference, because Avraham Avinu is good enough on an intellectual level. He can come to the conclusion, to those conclusions by himself. But the Torah is for everybody. The Torah is for everyone. Some people are simpler. They need to be shown and explained. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say, Anoich Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzivtichom Eretz Mitzrayim, that you've just seen it. But you've just seen, that is me. That's Anoich Hashem Elokecha. That's who I am. And that is why that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asher Tzivtichom Eretz Mitzrayim, as opposed to saying, Asher Borosi Shemayim V'Oretz. And my show is brought from Elia, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Hashem Anoich Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzivtichom Eretz Mitzrayim, that was to be able to instill in Klal Yisrael the understanding that if we're talking about Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is kind of what our Sefer Tzibur is all about, if we're talking about Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's completely dependent on one's ability to be able to make Torah. If one wants to be a ma'amin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one has to be able to be a makir tovah. Which is, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm your God, but I can only be your God, I can only have a emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you can be makir in Asher Tzivtichom Eretz Mitzrayim, what I've just done for you in Mitzrayim. If you're able to do that, then you're on the road to be able to be on the road to emunah. We see in the Makkah, imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought Moshe, he's been hasn't he thrown a donkey road in all the way from Midyan? Moshe Rabbeinu comes and now God has to give the Makkos. So it's a bit of a letdown. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu is the leader, and the first three Makkos, oops, you know, sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu, he can't do these ones, but he'll be off on course when it comes to number four. First three Makkos, this is the opportunity when Klal Yisrael is going to come to Bezois Teda Kani Hashem with these Makkos. This is what we want to instill in Munei and Klal Yisrael, and suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu, he can't be doing this. Why can't he be doing it? And we all know the reason why he couldn't perform the first three Makkos, because they involved the sea and the sand, the water and the sand, which he was indebted to. He had to show his Hakaras HaTov for what they had done for him at an earlier stage in his life. So the question is, okay, fine. So he has to show Hakaras HaTov to the water and the sand. Very good. All right. He can't do it. But then at least. To shift them, you know, move the three Makkos to the end or something, but bring, you know, at least Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, the one you brought all the way, you brought him from Midyan, at least he should be the one who's going to perform. He should be on stage at least for the first three at least. So Rabbeinu explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it clear, if I'm coming to show Klal Yisrael Bezois Teda Kani Hashem, I'm trying to instill Emunah in Klal Yisrael, I can only do that if I show them the importance of Hakaras HaTov as a starter. And the best way to show them that Hakaras HaTov as a starter is to show that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the expense of losing Moshe Rabbeinu as a key player, as a key performer in these first three Makkos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to forfeit Moshe Rabbeinu performing them and putting Aaron instead, all to be able to instill in the Yidden the idea that Hakaras HaTov, it comes first. Hakaras HaTov is the aleph beis of Emunah. When they've seen what an importance it is that there's a Hakaras HaTov, that one has to have Hakaras HaTov, then we can work on the Zoh Teda Kani Hashem. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it worthwhile putting Aaron instead of Moshe. So we explained that Emunah, Hakaras HaTov, the only way a person can have Emunah is Hakaras HaTov, is that having Hakaras HaTov is a problem. The problem is that many people have it difficult showing Hakaras HaTov. Not on purpose, not because they don't want to show Hakaras HaTov. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the Klal Yisrael, when they were in the Midbar, they were having the Mon. And it says, "Apa kuya bottom tapheim with aleph." The bottom it says, "Apa kuya tova." Klal Yisrael kuya tova dechsev v'nafshenu kofar b'lechem hakloikel. That the Yidden had difficulty showing Hakadosh Baruch Hu the Hakadosh Baruch Hu for the manna they were getting. They said, "V'nafshenu kofar b'lechem hakloikel." They complained with as Rashi explains, on a gastronomical level, exactly with about the processing of the mom. But Tosus says kriya tova, lakach kom lekriya tova shle rotelema atotein lefishel loha yeroitim lahachzik lo tova bekach. Tosus says that they didn't want to be machzik tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What this tells us, sort of a twist, he explains as follows. He explains that when a person gets into a situation where they are on the receiving end, and which one could say that the Yidden in the Midbar were very much on the receiving end, getting mom delivered to them every single day, couldn't unread that they were working for it. They slowly but surely came home with his parcel every single day, with his mom, the father, and so eventually their self-esteem, the way they felt about themselves, was they come to a situation where it's very difficult to be able to show Hakaras HaTov. Yehuda says, the Midrash says that Yehuda got his ability to be able to be moided, to be able to confess, to say, Sakim Mani, he drew that that koyach from his mother Leah, because when he was born, she says Atam Oides Hashem. That was the Medrash. The Medrash says that Yehuda was able to confess because his mother was able to thank. Question is, what's the connection? confessing, and saying thank you. So the words, they share the same word. I'm sure from Hirsch explains when two things share the same word, but then there is a similarity about them. Meaning, yeah, Hoido. So Hoido is thanking, and they also use for confessing. So it says it's not by chance. That means that there's some similarity between these two midas, these two issues. So explanation is as follows: that Leah was in a situation. She lived. She was the second class. You know, she was second class wife. She wasn't really chosen. She got into the back door. Very difficult life she had there. And Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a Reuven. But when the time when Reuven was born, she still felt, you know, she felt at the end of the day, I'm not first choice here. And Shimon, and we can see from the way she named her children Reuven and Shimon and the lady, she was always, you know, about very nice, Baruch Hashem, Master Wisdom, but this is not really. I'm not. She wasn't really happy within herself. She knew she was. She's not it. When Yehuda was born, at that stage in her life, she suddenly, her whole self-esteem, the way she felt about it, her whole way she looked at herself changed to the point, and we can see from the way she named her son Yehuda. Suddenly, what she never thought of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu until now, but now she felt she could thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu within herself. Her whole morale, her whole self-esteem was on a level where she could felt, oh, now I can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that very point, when she could thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the birth of Yehuda, she instilled in her son Yehuda the ability to be able to, at a later stage, confess. What's the connection between confessing and thanking? So it goes as follows: that how can a person confess? Somebody who feels very low about life, doesn't feel very good about himself or what he's achieving or what he's, let's say, is dependent on others, he feels his whole ego is going to go, which is already very low, is going to confess, is going to get another crunch, it's going to go even lower. So he has such a person has difficulty owning up. Someone however, who feels good about themselves, they feel, you know, they're achieving, and they feel good, they're being able to fulfill their shlemus in life. Such a person doesn't got really much of a problem confessing, because true, no one's saying, of course it will crush the ego in some way, but there's plenty more of the ego, and there's plenty more of a, not talking about Gavi, but plenty more to be proud of, and what he's doing feels accomplished enough that he can afford to be crushed a bit, you know, it's okay with him. So Yehuda was able, because he got from his mother, that his mother had that feeling when he was born. She already, at the stage when he was born, she had already had that feeling of being able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which meant that she felt good about herself. Therefore, she instilled in Yehuda that ability to be able to confess at a later stage when he had to. In the parasha it says that the last three mitzvahs in the parasha tells us sasun eti. You can't make, don't go make any type of forms of for Shem of Zorah, but even Lenoi, even if you're just doing it for yourself, you're building any type of surah, any type of shape, or any type of object like that, you can't have these things around your house, wherever you want to put them. The Sasuniti. And the next one is the Sivnes and Godis. You can't use a conic metal object to build a Mizbeach. And the third is, which is the last, right at the end of the parasha, Vilei Sale B'mala Sal Mizbechi. No steps, only a ramp. So Rabbi Gurovitz explains that these three last mitzvahs at the end of the parasha are an explanation to us of how the three strong most chomerdika averus in which we found in Aseret HaDibros, they are perished as how far the Torah wants us to go, which means that this is not just by coincidence that at the end of the parasha you have these three mitzvahs. It's to show that they are an illustration of that which we says in Aseret HaDibros. Out of Aseret HaDibros we have the Gila Aroyos, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zorah. So too, the reason why these mitzvahs are at the end of the parasha are to show that don't think Avodah Zorah is mamash, you know, only Avodah Zorah, that's what we call Akimel Averis. Well, don't think that Aroyos is mamash Gila Aroyos, straight up Gila Aroyos. It's even walking up, or even going up a step, the Megala, the ankle of a man, is that in itself, of the Kohen, that in itself, in and of itself, is already Gila Aroyos. And Shvichas Domim is even using the metal, that's the sensitivity that HaKadosh Baruch has towards metal, because metal can create a cherub. And a cherub is, as by definition, is cherub is machriv, it's used for destruction. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch looks at a cherub. HaKadosh Baruch sees metal, he sees Ritzicha. HaKadosh Baruch sees a coin going up a step, Megala his ankle, that's already Gila Aroyos. And Avodah Zorah is even going and making a sculpture, putting such a thing, and not doing it. Oh, don't mamish mean the same Avodah Zorah. That already HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already considered already Avodah Zorah. That's just so these three mitzvahs at the end of the Torah, at the end of the parasha, to show us that any trace that has to do with Gila Aroyos, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zorah is already HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's already what we're talking about in our Aseret HaDibros. And to end, the last most very famous in the end of our Aseret HaDibros, it says Lo'isachmoit. So the last of the Aseret HaDibros, Lo'isachmoit. So famous, the Rikanti, it was worth saying over. The Rikanti says that the last and the first of the Aseret HaDibros have very much more to do with each other. And a person who understands Lo'isachmoit, one should not desire that which one's friend has, when someone is very much dependent on how much a person sees, believes, or and lives with. If a person has got true emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as much as a person has true emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they won't come to Lo'isachmoit to desire that which somebody else has, because they realize that everything that they have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they're ma'amin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rikanti says that as much as a person lives with emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will not come to Lo'isachmoit. That will help them not come to Lo'isachmoit desiring that which is not theirs. And the Satmar Rebbe's more famous line was Lo'isachmoit. And the Torah goes on, the Torah says Lashachmad goes on a whole a lot of things. Last stuff to Lashachmad, Eshet Re'echo, Ba'avdoi, Ba'amosoi, Ba'shoire, Ba'chamoire, Ba'choy Lashel Re'echo. Stop listening to all these Eshet Re'echo, and your wife, your friend's wife, and that you could include, as much as you can include his whole mishpacha, his whole family set up. Avdoi, Ba'amosoi, Ba'shoire, Ba'chamoire, and all his physical, all the things which he, all the objects that he owns, the house, his car, everything he has. So what's b'choy l'shel reecho? We've kind of covered everything. We could basically make, you know, could make extensions on each of these words. Says Satmar Rebbe, b'choy l'shel reecho. Says Satmar Rebbe, that fine, you want to go on and desire his family, his financial setup, whatever he has, fine. But then you have to take b'choy l'shel reecho. You have to be prepared to take choy everything l'shel reecho really has. And when you'll see everything that which you're not supposed to go and check out, but if you'll ever be exposed to everything that really goes on behind the closed doors in his house, you'll tell him, keep your house, keep your whole family, keep everybody. That's the chol hashem reecho, and that's what the Safmud kind of tell us, that we have to be mamin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything we're supposed to have is what we have, everything we're supposed to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us with. As Hashem, hope that a few of these points recovered on the parsha should enhance the Shabbos, because they certainly have enhanced mind being able to look for them, and I wish I could have Shabbos.